This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFK. If you're not already a member, consider joining with us and keep free speech alive.
Yes, they do. Especially the LAPD last night at Los Angeles City Hall. City Hall Park, redubbed Solidarity Park by the Occupy LA occupiers, who were deoccupied in the middle of the night last night. Brad Friedman, you're listening to The Bradcast. I am your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow occupying your public airwaves right here on 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM Santa Barbara, 93.7 FM in San Diego, and 99.5 in Ridgecrest and China Lake, and of course on kpfk.org, coast to coast and around the globe. Glad you could join us here this afternoon. We are live in studio, and well, we're going to be talking for the next 30 minutes about nothing but Herman Cain. No, maybe not. I've actually joined, I got a couple of in-studio guests, one of whom, at least, two of whom seem to be live streaming us, and we're glad about it. We'll tell you where you can watch the live stream if you're interested. Last night, for some reason that still has not been made entirely clear to me, some 1,400 LAPD officers descended into LA City Hall Park, redubbed Solidarity Park by the Occupy LA demonstrators who had been protesting, living, meeting, and demanding change to the inequities of our corporatized financial system and accountability for those in the so-called 1% who brought on the global financial meltdown, and the so-called 99% have had to pay enormous costs over the past several years to make up for it. Following some 57 days of largely peaceful demonstrations late last week, Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa had announced the park at City Hall would officially close down at 12:01 a.m. Monday morning, as 58 days of constitutional and peaceable assembly would be fine, but 58 days was apparently a bridge too far. So while protesters feared an eviction in the early Monday morning hours, it never came, but it did in the very early morning hours today, after police handed out leaflets last night warning that the park would close at 10:30 p.m. and evictions and arrests would follow at any time thereafter. Unlike elsewhere in the across the nation, where adversarial relationships developed between citizen Occupy protesters and city officials and police departments, by most accounts, there has been a cooperative spirit between those factions here in L.A. over the past 60 days. And the L.A. City Council, in fact, passed a resolution in the very early days of the occupation in support of the occupiers, decrying the global banking mess. And Mayor Villaraigosa even sent 100 rain ponchos to protesters after a cold, rainy day in the early days of the occupation. Do you remember that?
Yes.
You do? All right. Last night, however,
good old days.
Yeah, I know. That came to an end last night. The mayor and LAPD Chief Charlie Beck, to their credit, it was, by almost all accounts, done very peacefully, as the evictions happened without violence, pepper spray, tear gas, batons, riot gear, steroid-pumped... Freedom has some thoughts on that. We'll get that in a second. Anyway, without the outrages that police have brought to similar evictions in other cities. While corporate mainstream media covered last night's events, it was the citizen journalists through Twitter and, most helpfully, live video streams from cell phones and other cameras Streamed by citizen journalists that may have best told the story of what went on last night and even in the 60 days preceding the eviction at City Hall. So two of those citizen journalists, oh, I'm honored. I'm delighted to have them. Two of those citizen journalists, live streamers, join me in studio today after a very long night. Either of you get any sleep last night, by the way?
I think I got like three broken hours, and I think
that's
three
about it.
Not so much.
Still run. Okay. So I'm joined by, you heard him there, that's Spencer Mills, better known to his online followers, speak right into the thing there, as Oak for Show. He came down from Oakland, where he'd been live streaming the Bay Area as and documenting the violent police tactics up there, the way the Oakland police had dispersed peaceful demonstrators up there, sending a couple of veterans into the hospital, actually, in critical condition up in Oakland. You can follow his Ustream feed at ustream.tv/OccupyOakland. I'm also joined by a woman who prefers to be known only as Freedom, better known to her followers on Ustream and Twitter as Occupy Freedom LA. Her live stream of last night's events, which I was able to watch, right? I was right there with you until about 5:30 a.m. this morning when you signed off. That can be found at ustream.tv, Occupy Freedom LA. Freedom is both a demonstrator. See, I wrote this before we discussed in the hall. Freedom is both a demonstrator and a citizen journalist at Occupy LA.
Correct.
Having been at the encampment from day one, welcome to both of you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much, Brad.
Delighted to have you guys here. Delighted to meet you in person. I have been screaming out from the Brad blog for years about the importance of citizen journalism being the media. Back in 2005, I think I did something similar in covering the Cindy Sheehan protests on the ground down there in Crawford. Back in long before the video days. So let me just say, you guys, my thanks to you for being the media. What you guys are doing is incredibly important. And let's talk about how you got into this in the first place. Actually, let me start with Oak for Show. Spencer, how did you get started on this back up there in Oakland? Oh, and if you hear those birds tweeting, that's Blame Freedom. That's her Twitter that... Though she can broadcast all night long live with a cell phone, she can't figure out how to turn off the audio on her Twitters. So anyway, Spencer, how did you get started doing this up in the Bay Area?
Well, somebody just randomly told me, hey, you have a Droid X, you can download this Ustream app and you can live video on the internet, live Ustream on the internet and send video out. And the night of the general strike in Oakland was my first Ustream from my phone, and I just happened to be, I think, one of the only people, if not the only person for a long time there, streaming from my phone. We ended up with over 10,000 viewers, and you don't really know how many are watching because you're mirrored on so many different streams.
Right.
But we were essentially a small cable TV show from a cell phone, and that's how it got started, and... Yeah, it kind of grew from there.
It grew indeed, and you become a bit of a legend, I think, when you showed up down here in this weekend to cover the L.A. Eviction. I suspect a lot of the folks down here knew you and were delighted to meet you.
The people here in L.A. have been very supportive, I will say. They are good people down here, and many of them knew me. Freedom... told me that she was inspired by me, and I didn't actually know that, and that really made me smile, because every time that I'm doing broadcasts, I always say to everybody, download the app, because you're what makes them think twice before pulling the trigger or sending out tear gas or whatnot, is all these cameras in their face making them stick to code, stick to procedure. Mm-hmm. You're what makes them think twice. And
you spoke rather eloquently about that last night on your live stream a number of times. We'll get to that in a minute. Freedom, you when did you start with your live stream here at the L.A. occupation?
I just started about a week and a half ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I had been watching Zuccotti Park. I've been mm-hmm. watching the other 99 work. And then when Oakland started blowing up, I started watching Oak for Show. And, you know, Twitter has really been the medium, the way that I've been communicating and getting, you know, they've been getting the word out. So I started following them, and I spent, you know, those several nights, you know, with my laptop in my bed, sleeping with it as the nights went down, because I just, I, you know, couldn't sleep with my fellow, knowing my fellow protesters, occupiers, you know, were in peril. So I would sleep with the laptop in my bed, dozing off and just kind of spending the night with them and watching these citizen journalists. And, you know, I got very inspired by that. And L.A. had been so peaceful. There hadn't been so much conflict. There hadn't been such a need. And when I saw Spence started working with Ustream, somebody from Ustream actually contacted me. And interestingly enough, so I started a dialogue with them and started trying to obtain a device and ended up getting a sponsor. GatherGreen.com is a friend of mine, a small local company, sustainable company. Mm-hmm. And they offered to get me a device and a couple of friends on Facebook. I did a little fundraiser and I got myself a camera to shoot with and just started right away that first day. And then ended up getting myself a battery. So it was Thursday before last that I started. And I just knew it was coming. And it was, it's just been in the nick of time mm-hmm. that I got it together enough. I still haven't worked out my little Twitter sound notifications.
Yes, apparently.
Sorry about that. So I'm, right. I'm a bit of a newbie. And, you know, I'm making it up as I go along. And I have a little bit of a journalism background. But this is you know, a very interesting way to, you know, evolve.
You were actually at the occupation in L.A. from the very beginning. So it was a month or so before you started documenting it in this way. And last night, when suddenly, for some reason, the corporate mainstream media decided to pay attention to what was going on, you had mentioned before we went on the air that one of them said to you, well, are you a journalist or a protester?
Is actually, right? It was somebody from my social stream that was chatting with me that asked, you know, are you a journalism or an occupier? And, you know, I didn't even have time to really answer it on the stream at the time, but that question has been kind of sitting in my head. And, you know, I'm both. I'm documenting what I see happening at the occupation. And, you know, I'm a photographer and I'm a writer. I'd already been documenting through photography and I've written a couple blog posts about it. So this was just another medium for me to record, you know, this history in the making.
Mm-hmm. Spencer Mills, Okfa Show. What do you think that citizen journalists like yourself with your live streams, what is it that you're able to bring to the public that perhaps the corporate mainstream media either cannot or will not?
Well, many of us feel like the corporate mainstream media are kind of beholden to their sponsors rather than the truth these days. And so what I bring is just kind of a live, unfiltered look at the reality of the situation. You know, if, a cable news network that none of us really appreciate last night, there was one altercation between two people last night.
CNN?
No, it was actually...
MSNBC?
No, it was actually a different cable news network.
Fox News?
Something like
okay.
that.
Okay. Yeah.
And, you know, there was actually one altercation last night between a couple of people, and apparently I had a bunch of people tweeting me and whatnot that they blew that up as to, you know, the whole thing, you know... Tensions were running high. It was Occupy LA's first raid, and you know, people don't really initially know how to deal with that and keep calm, and sometimes tensions run high, and so there was one altercation between a couple of people, and Fox News chose to blow that up and make it the story for a time last night,
because that's what they do.
Because
they
that's focus. What they do.
But it's not just Fox News. I mean, it was there was a I think it was an NBC LA reporter who was chosen. Apparently, some media outlets were chosen to be part of the pool after guys like you, who don't deserve to be in the park, apparently, were thrown out. Even though you're journalists, some media outlets were allowed to stay in, and some of them were reliably reporting what the LAPD wanted them to. For example, one of them said before the arrest came down that, I've just been handed plastic gloves because the police expect there to be biohazardous material inside the park. Of course, if we stayed up long enough to follow your web streams until 5 a.m., we would have heard the LAPD saying, oh, no, there was absolutely there was no drugs, no guns, no biohazardous material that has been found. And yet the message went out reliably from NBC LA that, hey, these dirty hippie occupiers may be biohazards in and of themselves.
Feces throwing.
Exactly.
It's nonsense.
Yeah, exactly. Let me play just a short clip. I got one from each of you of some of the action as you covered it last night. Spencer, this is Oak for show. Some of his coverage out of your, what'd you guys stream, about 10 hours last night, I think, at least?
I lost count. Probably. I don't even know anymore.
Yeah.
Probably.
You guys need battery endorsements from whoever is running your battery. All right, let's play a short clip.
Okay.
This is Oak for show covering last night from the center of the occupation as the police were about to move in on the protesters who I believe had linked arms in protest, who were willing to be arrested last night.
LAPD is going to arrest a great-grandmother. A great-grandmother for peace is in there. We interviewed her earlier, and they will be arresting her as well. They're going to be arresting religious leaders from all faiths in there as well. They're going to be arresting veterans. They're going to be arresting nonviolent mediators and nonviolent observers. All of these people are represented inside. They represent the breadth and scope of the United States. All in one area, all are going to be arrested.
And, Spencer, it was an amazing scene. Amazing scenes all night. You actually were calling out, and I know you have experience with the Oakland police and their outrageous violence against demonstrators up there. You were actually calling out LAPD. You were naming names. You were each one of them as they were aiming riot weapons at protesters.
So originally, before they actually came in and moved in on the park, they set up a cordon around block to block. And what we did was we went up to where one of the police lines was at Broadway and First, and I named off the officers and showed their faces, especially on those carrying riot control weapons like tear gas guns or rubber bullet beanbag shotguns. And the reason for that is, and I made it very clear to them, I called out their names very loudly and very clearly, and I made it very clear to them that, you know, that way they have to think twice before they pull the trigger. Again, what happened to Scott Olson in Oakland has taught us, you know, a very important lesson.
The Iraq vet, Tutor Iraq vet, who had his skull fractured by a tear gas canister on October 25th, and he's now out of the hospital, but fighting brain damage and speech problems. But that's Scott Olson. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it taught us a very important lesson. These officers need to understand that while they're supposedly carrying non-lethal riot control, you know, crowd control weapons, that if they don't use them according to procedure, if they don't use them appropriately, they can still kill someone or very nearly kill someone. And they need to know that people are watching them and that it's being documented that they are the ones carrying the weapons so that they follow suit. And we had one incident last night. Actually, the clip you just played was just before one officer was holding a beanbag shotgun, and he had a flashlight on the end of it, and he was aiming it at protesters.
Yep.
And so I pointed my camera at him, and I told him that, you know, that's not allowed, and, you know, in probably louder ways than that, but made it very clear to him that he was on camera and that what he's doing was wrong.
And you actually told him, was this the guy who had his finger on the
Correct.
The trigger?
Correct.
You told him, hey, you got your finger on the trigger, take that off. It's in violation of California State Police police procedure.
It's my understanding that it is wildly against procedure. Not only did he have his finger on the trigger, but he also pointed it directly at my head while I was filming him on camera. And actually, you know, on my Twitter feed, I have the video posted there. So, I mean, it's just one of those things. You've just got to make sure that they understand that they're on camera, they're being watched, and there will be consequences if they fail to do their job appropriately.
How did he respond to you when you told him, hey, get your... I mean, you were quite direct, and I was trying to find the audio tonight. I couldn't among the 5 hours. Hey, get your finger off that trigger. How did he respond to you?
You know, he said, don't worry. I think what he said was, don't worry about it. And I said, well, you know what? I'm going to worry about it because it's, you know, and as far as I'm concerned, you pointing your rifle at people, whether it's less than lethal or not, is just... it's not really forgivable to me. He is given the responsibility to protect and serve, not to point and shoot at peaceful protesters. And that's just kind of how I feel about it. And I think that's how a lot of people feel about it.
Did you? And actually, Freedom was giving her, what do we call this? The
twinkly fingers.
Twinkly fingers.
That's right. Twinkly fingers. She was giving twinkly fingers.
Stop the hand signals.
In support of Oak for Show's thought there. Did you feel safer last night, Freedom, because you were holding a camera and pointing it at these cops?
Actually, no, I didn't. I felt the opposite, and only, I would say on Sunday night I did, But last night I did not, because of the media pool news that came out. It was my understanding that I was at risk of arrest simply for holding that camera.
Where'd you get that understanding?
There was, if you look on our OccupyLosAngeles.org website, there was a blog post specifically explaining the consequences that if any media was in there that was not within the pool, we were subject to arrest.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess if you stayed in there, you violated a police order. This notion that they can choose who can cover them and who cannot, I find exceedingly troubling. You too. Let's take a clip. This is Occupy Freedom LA, and you're listening, by the way, to KPFK. I'm Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com, speaking with Spencer Mills, otherwise known as Oak Fashow, great live streamer, and Occupy Freedom LA, another great live streamer. Let's get a clip of some of your coverage from last night. I believe this was after the cops had moved in and they were beginning to arrest people from the center of the park.
Different times it's pretty disheartening watching the camp go down, but I love my people sitting in there in the center, just holding down the fort best they can. Okay. All right, so now we have a whole line of officers and MAPS here on First Street. Good 50, not 100. Their helmets are up, their batons are put away. A lot of their visors are up. They look like they're on their way out. They've done what they came to do. There are still, I'd say, several hundred officers still in the center of Solidarity Park. We need to stand up and take our rights back. That's exactly what this is about, guys.
Yeah, stand up and take our rights back. That's exactly what this is about. Freedom, do we lose anything, do you think? In the live streams, I suspect corporate mainstream media folks, at least those who are fighting to keep their job, would probably say that, well, we lose something. This is just raw footage. It doesn't really tell what's going on. We need the more thoughtful perspective that comes after digesting this videotape, putting it into a package that gives a better picture of what goes on rather than one person's cell phone point of view. What do you think of that thought?
I think it's absolutely essential that we have citizen journalists covering things like this, an unedited, up close on the front lines version. It's full transparency. And this is one of the words that comes up consistently in the Occupy movement is transparency. And that's a lot of what our process is. So it's very much in line with the whole Occupy movement. And that's what we're all moving towards. That's part of our goal for society in general. And, especially government and the corporations and the Wall Street businesses and the banks. I mean, that's what we're after is transparency. So it only makes sense that we should have that in the reporting of the movement as well.
And the reporting last night, I should note, it was more than just you two guys live streaming. We also had Punk Boy SF, I think, and Cross X Bones. And I was trying to cover all of their live feeds. And I will say this, to their credit, Reuters was out there apparently live streaming. Not apparently, they were. I saw it. Now, they haven't completely figured it out yet because they put their live stream on a web page that auto-refreshed about every 5 minutes, which meant you had to restart their live stream. So they haven't gotten entirely, but they're beginning to get it. Is that a good sign? Would you like to see more coverage like that, live stream coverage from the mainstream media, Spencer?
Well, absolutely. I mean, even the Times set up a live Ustream in the corner of their building, which actually allowed us to go home and sleep the night before last.
Because you knew they were rolling.
Right. So what I did was I set up my laptop next to my bed, and I just, they had a Ustream from like the top of their building looking down over the camp. So if anything happened, I felt like I could get up and run out there and be there in 5 minutes. And that kind of allowed me to go home and get some sleep the night before.
You were following their live stream.
Correct. Correct. So, thank you for coming into the 21st century, LA Times. And, it was one of those things. I definitely want these mainstream media folks to kind of embrace this because, it's live and unfiltered. Again, I feel like people like CNN with their corporate sponsorship, like from Bank of America and other places, are more beholden to their corporate sponsors than the truth. I mean, the days of Walter Cronkite are pretty much over. And, you know, in many ways, you know, true journalism from these individuals on TV is dead. You know, I mean, everybody can't be 60 Minutes anymore.
Well, we've got just a minute or so left. So, Spencer, if you, and I know you could do this quickly because I heard you doing it last night a bunch of times. If you had to sort of give the quick instructions on how you do what it is that you do that you've now given up your job for to do this around
Absolutely.
The country, correct? Very quickly, what would you advise? How do you tell other citizens to do exactly what you're doing?
If you have a smartphone, download the Ustream app. It's very simple. It's very easy. It's plug and play. All you have to do is hit record. Once you've downloaded it, it automatically uploads to the internet. Download the Ustream app, point and shoot. You are the buffer against these officers making mistakes. You are the buffer against power when the mainstream media fails, which they tend to do a lot these days. So if you have a smartphone, do that. If you don't have a smartphone, you generally have a camera feature on your phone. Mm-hmm. Click. Tweet those pictures. Put them on Facebook. Again, you can be a citizen journalist, too. This isn't something that we invented. This is something that is you know, been going on for some time now, and as technology improves, it gets better and better, and we become more and more capable. Ustream, because of the viewers that I was able to get from the cell phone, mm-hmm. actually loaned me a live pack. It's like 6-modem backpack that uploads over 3 cell networks, 1 gig a minute,
wow.
and they gave me a Sony Handycam with FireWire capability, too.
Cool.
So it's like I've seen professional reporters out there with the same stuff. You can do this, too. Just get your smartphone, download the app, and make it happen.
And, Freedom, how did you keep that battery going on your cell phone last night for 10 hours? It was amazing.
Well, I didn't have time. I know there's a Tim Pool at the other 99 uses an XP Energizer, and I didn't have time to order it because I knew the raid was coming, and I didn't have time because you can only get it online. So I went, and I actually was X-Cross Bones, that I have to credit for this idea of having a car jump battery. And it's like
you
a
20-pound
battery.
You actually walk around with a 20-pound?
I went to Home Depot and I bought one that would put in my backpack, and I, you know, charged it up and carried it around on my back all night.
Unbelievable. Occupy Freedom LA. Check out her stream, ustream.tv/OccupyFreedomLA. Check out Spencer Mills' amazing work as well at ustream.tv/OccupyOakland. I'd like to say on behalf of this grateful nation, we owe both of you our great thanks.
So, thanks for having us.
Thanks,
guys. So much, Brad.
Keep being the media out there. Really appreciate it. All right, guys, we'll be back next week. Same Brad time, same Brad channel, right here on KPFK. We'll have this archived later on tonight at kpfk.org and bradblog.com. Check me on the Twitters at TheBradBlog, and otherwise we'll see you next week. Until then, we'll see you at bradblog.com. Keep it occupied, America.